The peak body for cotton farmers, Cotton Australia, has rejected accusations that the industry is to blame for the unprecedented mass fish kill in the Menindee Lakes in western New South Wales. Locals are blaming mismanagement of the Murray-Darling River system for the fish kill, and the New South Wales Labor opposition is calling for a special commission of inquiry into the incident. There's already been a royal commission into the Murray-Darling Basin. It was called by South Australia last year, and it's due to hand down its report next month. But the commission never heard from the Murray-Darling Basin Authority after the federal government barred federal officials from giving evidence. Philip Glyde is the authority's chief executive. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Cathy. Good to be back.
Now, taxpayers, as we know, have contributed more than $13 billion to restore the health of the Murray-Darling Basin. I understand something like two-thirds have already been spent. Has it been a failure?
Not at all. It's a great success, and it's an example to right around the world. People come to see us to see what a job we're doing. But what the problem with the fish kills is really essentially we're trying to turn around 100 years of overallocation. You don't do that overnight, and that $13 billion has gone to returning the balance between industry use and environmental use.
You talk about turning around 100 years of mismanagement, but this is an unprecedented fish kill, and the drought is being blamed as well by the authorities, and yet we've seen major droughts before. The Millennium Drought, we didn't see this sort of extent of fish kill.
I think we did, and we'll, and the fish
kills to the same size, Philip?
Yeah, look, that's part of a symptom of a very stressed river system. So over the last 100 years, governments in good faith, without the knowledge that we've got today, allocated out more water than was available. What we have at the moment is a very stressed system, 1,000 square kilometres, very stressed, over-allocated system. The drought has come along. It's a usual feature of Australian climate. On top of the drought, there's been a particular weather event that's caused an algal bloom. And then with the hot weather, then with cold weather, the algae dies and consumes all the oxygen, the fish die. It's a tragic symptom of how far we've got to go in restoring the river system to health.
But the current management is also coming under pressure here. I mean, certainly locals and scientists are calling you out on this. They're saying that you have to accept some responsibility here, particularly around the draining of the Menindee Lakes, which happened twice in 4 years.
Yes, correct. And I think we all share this responsibility. All governments, the six governments that are involved in the management of the basin, all share some responsibility. The Murray-Darling Basin Authority quite willingly shares that responsibility. We manage the lakes on behalf of the three governments, the New South Wales government, the Victorian government, and the South Australian government. In the 1960s, when the Menindee Lakes were put in, it was recognised that those dams that would create the lakes impeded the flow down to Victoria and then on to South Australia. So the governments got together, created an agreement, and asked the Murray-Darling Basin Authority to administer that agreement. And the agreement shares the water fairly between the jurisdictions. Our job is to make the best and most efficient use of that water. The reality is that the Menindee Lakes are very large and very shallow. They evaporate very quickly. Somewhere between 20 and 30% of the water in the lakes will evaporate in the course of a year. So the way in which we manage the whole system, because we have storages elsewhere in Victoria and the like, is to use the water that is going to evaporate first. And so under the
But should you have drained it, though? I mean, isn't that the point, that you should have left some there?
That's right. And so the way it works is that we use the water to maximise economic, environmental and social values throughout the year across all of the river system, and it makes sense to drain it. The reality would have been that if we hadn't used that water, and we haven't had control over the lake since December of 2017. If we hadn't used the water that was available, then that would have probably evaporated. Now, whether or not, it's a moot point as to whether or not things would have been better or worse if it had left slightly more in. Would it have evaporated? Would it have, or would we have actually undermined some of the environmental and industry outcomes that we achieved during the course of using that water in 2017? And so we're operating as best we can. We may well have made mistakes, and every year we go back, and we've been managing the river for 100 years. Every year we go and look at what's happened, what's the new information.
So are you saying that draining the lake was a mistake?
No, I'm saying that we made the right decision at that time.
Okay. Well, what about upriver, though? Because there is concern about the management of the river upstream. We heard from river ecologist Richard Kingsford yesterday. Yeah. He raised the issue around the authority endorsing the Northern Basin Review, which took a further 70 gigalitres from the river system.
Yeah.
Is over-allocation of water in the Northern Basin the trigger here for this fish kill ultimately?
Ultimately, it's a factor. The fact, as I said before, the fact that over the last 50 or 60 years, governments have given out more water entitlements than we have to give out, that's the fundamental problem. That's where the $13 billion is going.
It's going to... The authorities endorsed this review.
We did the review. What happened in 2012 when this plan was put in place, which sees 20% of the water being taken back from farmers and left in the river, returned to the river to try and achieve the right environmental outcomes. At the time the deal was struck, there was going to be 390 gigalitres extra water returned to the river as a result of that deal. Now, the information in the northern part of the basin is it's nowhere near as good as what we have in the southern part of the basin down around the Murray River. So we undertook a review 3 or 4 years, new science, new hydrology, new economic studies, and what we discovered was that we could achieve the same or close to the same environmental outcomes using 70 gigalitres less, and ensuring and working with New South Wales and Queensland to make sure they actually protected the water that had been set aside. Within the New South Wales system and the Queensland system, you need two things. One is you need the water, which is what the government's brought back from the farmers. And the second thing, you need to make sure that water can't be legally pumped out by another irrigator further downstream. So our solution, which finally went through Parliament last year, it has been adopted, and you get the same environmental outcomes, but with less socioeconomic impact. Because you might remember, we've got towns up and down the river the communities, their existence depends on the being able to use the water. And what we've done, and we believe it's very strongly, that the extra 320 gigalitres that the basin plan will provide on average flowing down the Darling River to Menindee will help repair this stress system.
Well, let's just pick up on those that question around the project. Certainly the Productivity Commission, it's handed its final report to government. We haven't seen that, but certainly in the draft we saw that they raised the issue around these projects as being as not as efficient as water buybacks. We've gone for the second best option, haven't we?
No, well, that's certainly a point they made. And certainly if you look at a very narrow definition of economics, how much taxpayer dollars does it cost to get the water? The cheapest and quickest way to get the water back is to buy it on the water market. It's slightly more expensive to buy the water back by investing in infrastructure, in irrigation districts and on farm. If you do that, if you enable a farmer to continue to produce the same amount of product with less water, then you're actually keeping jobs and employment in those particular areas. And so if you take a broader definition of economic health, of net social benefit, then it makes sense to do it this way.
Well, now, what we've seen, is obviously with this fish kill, it's become political again, which is ever the case with the Murray-Darling Basin. Yeah. We've got this Royal Commission report coming up from South Australia. New South Wales Labor is now saying that it wants a special commission of inquiry into the ecological issues in the Darling River. You didn't give evidence to South Australia's inquiry. Would you support a New South Wales one?
We did give evidence to the South Australian Royal Commission. We put in a written submission.
Well, you didn't appear. You were asked to appear and you were too busy.
No, that wasn't the case. There was the bottom line with the South Australian Royal Commission is that it raised a lot of issues to do with the appearance of Commonwealth officials in front of a state royal commission, and the Australian government took the decision that it wouldn't.
So does that mean you wouldn't have turned up to a New South Wales inquiry as well?
We welcome any review and any inquiry well constituted into the operation of the the Basin Plan and indeed the Murray-Darling Basin Authority. We have the regular reviews that you've already referred to in terms of the Productivity Commission. We undertake our own reviews every 5 or 10 years. There's umpteen different bodies that have actually reported on this because you're right, it's politically sensitive. Why is it politically sensitive? Because this is a huge reform that causes grief. We're taking 20% of the water that had been legally given to sold to farmers. We're taking that back over a 12-year period to try and restore the health of this river. And I think that's the point that a lot of people miss is that
Philip Glyde, I'm afraid I'm going to have to interrupt. We've got the news coming up. I do appreciate you coming on today.
And thanks very much for your interest, Cathy.
Philip Glyde is the Chief Executive of the Murray-Darling Basin Authority. And after 7.30, the Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young will be my guest. She's the party's spokesperson on the Murray-Darling Basin, and she's been visiting the Menindee Lakes area.